We're continuing to look at the theological formation within the Arabian context. And we looked at the Christian context, and then secondly, we looked at the Jewish context, and now I go on to look at the third, which is the Jahiliya context. The Jahiliya context. Now, the Jahiliya means the ignorant. The ignorant. The time of ignorance. And so, who are these ignorant people? What is this time of ignorance about? Well, at the time of Muhammad, most Arabians, although I mentioned that some were Christian tribes, there were some Christian tribes among them, but on the whole, they were polytheistic. And for example, in the Kaaba, which is the temple there in the center of Mecca, and there's a black stone inside that Kaaba, which the Arabians believed came from heaven. It did. It's a meteorite there in that black stone. I think that's what most people believe it is, a meteorite. Came from the sky. That sacred black stone, that was the center of their polytheistic worship. And they had 360 divinities that resided in the Kaaba. Imagine, 360 gods. Now, how did they get so many gods in the Kaaba? This is the polytheists. This is not the Muslims and not the Christians and not the Jews. These are the polytheists, the worshippers of many gods. How did so many gods get into the Kaaba? Well, what would happen is when tribe A made peace with tribe B, they would then bring their two gods or their multiple gods into the Kaaba. And so now the god of tribe A and the god of tribe B are living together in peace within the Kaaba. You see? So, yes, question.
Can you go a little bit more about the Kaaba? What's Kaaba means?
Kaaba is a temple. It's a temple, yeah. And it is the temple. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on when we talk about Adam and so forth. But it's the temple that houses the black stone. Yeah. And that, of course, is the sacred center of the Muslim movement. That Kaaba, it was also the sacred center of Islamic of Arabian polytheism.
And where is it right now?
Oh, it's in Mecca. It's right at the heart of Mecca, and it is where all Muslims go to on pilgrimage when they go there to the Kaaba. Yeah, the Kaaba is the temple which houses the black stone. Mm-hmm. Good question. It is the temple that houses the black stone. The black stone is the sacred center, but then you have this temple around it. Yeah. And that temple, there was a temple there housing the black stone at the time of Muhammad. And it was a polytheistic worship center. And as I said, 360 gods were worshipped within that Kaaba, within that temple, right there at the black stone. They huddled around the black stone. And why so many gods were there was because of these covenants that they would have. Remember, Arabia at this time was a cluster of tribes, oftentimes in conflict. And so these tribes would make a covenant with one another. And then to seal the covenant, they would bring their divinities into the Kaaba. And they would reside there in the Kaaba. Muhammad's family were the keepers of the Kaaba. They were to take care of these divinities and so forth within the Kaaba. So the Kaaba was very much a part of his experience in growing up because family members were responsible for that, keeping these divinities within the Kaaba. Yeah. There was a particular tribe called the Quraysh, which was Muhammad's tribe, and the Quraysh had special responsibilities for the Kaaba. And Muhammad's family was right there at the center of all of that.
Kind of a Levites?
Like the Levites. Yeah, the Quraysh were very similar to the Levites in the Old Testament. Had special responsibilities for the house of God. So the Quraysh had special responsibilities for the Kaaba. Exactly right. Yeah. Now, within Arabia, there were those polytheists who worshipped the creator God, whom they referred to as Allah, but also worshipped many other gods as well. For example, the polytheists believed that outside of Mecca, there was a shrine where three daughters of Allah were worshipped. And they were referred to as Alat, Alat, Almanat, and Al-Uzza. These three daughters of God. Sorry, I should have erased this before I did that. Alat, Al-Uzza, Almanat. The three daughters of God, of Allah, worshipped at a shrine outside of Mecca. And so that was also very much a part of Arabian polytheism. Yes, there is a creator God, but this creator God is the only God. It has other gods as well. So you can worship his daughters and all that kind of thing. This was Arabian polytheism. So now it's in this context that Muhammad is beginning to preach. And he reminds me very much of Amos in the Old Testament. You know, preaching against idolatry and preaching against injustice. Muhammad preaches against this notion that you can worship Allah and also his daughters. Allah does not have daughters. No, that's polytheism. Put all that kind of stuff aside, you see. Proclaiming vehemently against that sort of idolatry. And all these 360 gods in the Kaaba must be destroyed. And that was not a very popular thing to say, because these divinities were the very center of Arabian traditional religion, you see. And of course, along with the traditional religion and the worship of the daughters of Allah and this polytheism, went all kinds of religious practices which were unseemly. For example, oftentimes sexual activity, fertility cults and so forth, as you worship these polytheistic gods. And in Arabian culture at that time, girls were considered of no consequence. And we're told that oftentimes they would leave infant girls out in the wilderness to die because boys were wanted rather than daughters. And a lot of injustice went along with these polytheistic ways. This was called the time of ignorance. Muhammad viewed his mission as being to be a prophet proclaiming against all of these evils. The girls are worth much. You don't just put them out in the wilderness to die. And these gods are false. And sexual activity and the veneration of the divinities is wrong. He is a lonely voice, not a very popular voice, often his life under threat. But Islam viewed itself as very much a movement committed to confronting these polytheistic systems. That was the mission of Muhammad, he believed. So that's another stream which is very, very much present. And as you read the Quran and study the history, the whole Muslim movement is in very dynamic interaction and confrontation with these streams. Now, in some ways, these streams also are then incorporated into the Muslim, are transformed, but incorporated within the Muslim movement. As, for example, when finally the Muslims were able to cleanse the Kaaba of all these 360 divinities, why the Muslims, however, begin to make pilgrimages to the Kaaba, you see. Not to worship these gods. No, 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 no. But to worship the one true God, you see. And in fact, the direction of prayer now turns toward the Kaaba. Not to worship polytheistic divinities. No, 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 no. But rather to worship Allah, the one true God. And so this polytheistic experience is now transformed into the worship of the one true God. And just as the polytheists would have an annual, not just as, but the polytheists would have an annual pilgrimage to the Kaaba to reinforce their covenants with their divinities. All those divinities are now destroyed by Muhammad in due course. But the pilgrimage continues, you see, to renew the covenant, not to these pagan gods, no, no, but to the one true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so there was a transformation, a reinterpretation takes place in light of God's sovereignty and his transcendence and his authority. I'll pause for questions in just a minute. Let me go to the final point here, point four, which is the final context which we should be aware of. And this is the Hanif. The Hanif were people within the Arabian experience at the time of Muhammad who worshipped the God of Abraham. They were called, whom they called Allah. Some Hanif may have worshipped the God of Abraham and also other gods, as was true of some members of Muhammad's family. You might remember, I was just reading it the other day, Jacob in the Old Testament when he left Laban with his wives, his four wives and his many children, 11 children at that time, I guess it was. And Laban comes to follow after them, and he says, "You've stolen my gods." And they go investigating, and they couldn't find them, and it was Rachel had stolen his gods. So here's a family worshiping the God of Abraham, Elohim. God had appeared to Jacob there, Bethel, on the ladder, angels coming up and down, blessing Jacob. They believed in God, but members of his own household said, "Let's have some other gods as well." And that's the way some of the Hanif were, you know. We worship the God of Abraham, but there's other gods as well. And so even among the Hanif, there was some mixture of polytheism with the worship of the God of Abraham. But Muhammad was Hanif. His family was Hanif. It was a family committed to worshiping Allah as the God of Abraham. And so that was part of the stream as well, which was present at the time of Muhammad. And as I see it, the Muslim Ummah demonstrates a lively interaction with all of these streams. The Christian, the Jewish, the Hanif and the Jahiliya streams are all present in dynamic interaction with Muhammad and with the emergent Ummah in 7th century Arabia. So it's a very dynamic movement, very engaged with the culture.
Have you benefited from this teaching ministry? Have you found TVS videos helpful and relevant? Please consider supporting TVS with your prayers and financial gifts. For more information, please visit www.tvseminary.com.
Sometimes conflictually, sometimes building upon streams that were within the culture. Okay, open up for questions or comments.
The Muslims look all these gods right now as like a kind of paganism.
That's right.
Well, they look at like we're looking at all these gods. So for them, it's like same as like.
Yeah, well, Muhammad destroyed them all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll talk about that later on. When he finally got enough of power, he destroyed them all. They were all destroyed.
So they have the same idea that we have like a there's a witchcraft.
There's oh yes.
Demons. There's
yes.
Something.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's all. Located in all this polytheistic...
Well yes, but just as we say in the Christian movement, we don't deny witchcraft. We do not deny demons. But we believe that there is authority in Jesus Christ to triumph over witchcraft and over demons. Muslims will say the authority is in the Quran. The Quran is powerful. And so they have Quranic incantations and so forth that they use to attempt to deal with demons and witchcraft and so forth. They don't deny its existence. Mm-hmm. We as Christians don't deny the existence of witchcraft and demons either. But we do believe there is a power beyond them. And we are not to become entrapped by those powers. We should be freed from them. And Islam likewise proclaims that we should not become entrapped in these powers. And the power of the Quran can deliver from these powers is what they believe.
So for them it's the same. There's a satanic world that in all of this polytheism.
Yes. The satanic world is very much, Islam is very much aware of the satanic world. No, they never deny that. And then they have this whole phenomenon of genies. And some are good genies, these are spirits. And some are bad genies. And we'll talk more about this when we look at Fiqh Islam. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Elohim has a plural ending. And I guess the Elah would be a singular ending.
Okay.
Does it have to do with Allah?
Well, somehow? The Elah is exactly where Allah comes from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly right. Elah. Thank you, a Hebrew scholar here. Yeah, exactly right.
Mm-hmm. But the Hebrew is a plural, Elohim.
Yeah. Elohim is plural. Hebrew, yeah.
But that's a singular in
Muslim. But Elah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'd say Allah, not Elah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Meaning the God. Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah, that's right. And that's the Allah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
And that would be singular, right?
Yeah, that's singular. Yeah, singular. Like Allah emphasizes singularity, Allah emphasizes the singularity. Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. I was just reading a scholarly paper about this here recently. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Other questions or comments? Yeah. Okay, we'll have our break now.
Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 10-11. How to give to TVS Ministry. You may give online at efca.org/givenow. In the description place, write Russia Distance Learning, account number 24109-0150. Or make checks out to EFCA. Write on the check memo line, Russian Distance Learning, account number 24109-0150. Mail to EFCA Donor Services, 901 East 78th Street, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55420-1300. Or send your gift through PayPal for tvs.gift@gmail.com.